Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind. What's going on? Your man Casanova with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Cass is crazy. Now, I wanted to do this podcast with Cass is crazy because I wanted to put this under this podcast because what I'm about to see back is crazy. Of course, once again, I always got to thank everybody for the love they have been showing me with my podcast. Like I said, if it wasn't for you, this podcast would not be top in the world. This top podcast will not be as popular as it is. And I appreciate the real fans that listen to me. You know, unfortunately, what's crazy is that people don't want to debate me. They don't want to have me on their podcast. They don't want to really interact with me because I speak truth. And as we know that in the podcast world now, in the media world, the content creation world, truth is not definitely what people want. People want the red pill stuff. They want me to bash black women or bash black men and do these things that will get clicks and likes and attention. And I don't do that. I speak real. I speak true facts. I speak true encouragement. And people don't want that. So, you know, I've had questions of people asking me, you know, it's crazy, Cass, that you're not on this and you're not on that. And because it's not a popular topic to talk about black men and our struggles and to have any sympathy towards our struggle. That's not popular. You know what I'm saying? It's popular to talk about women and what men do to them and how men are dirt and talk about how black men aren't shit and things like that. That's popular. But to talk about the real problems facing black men and the struggles we go through, you know, according to everybody, black men don't go through struggles. So at the end of the day, you know, we don't deserve the same attention or understanding or empathy that other cultures and genders get for men. So, that's crazy. And I'm responding to some emails because people are like, man, Cass, we want you to, you know, talk to these people. And you know, I've challenged them. I have invited them. I've had said things and they don't want to, after listening to my podcast, they don't want to do it because I would force them to face the truth. I will embarrass them. So those are answering those questions. Okay. This Cass is crazy is about Lil Durk. Recently, Lil Durk got arrested in Florida. He got arrested for doing a murder for hire plot. Now, if you don't know, Lil Durk was very close with another rapper that was up and coming, doing his thing called Keen Von. And Keen Von got apparently murdered by a friend, association of a rival with another rapper called Quando Rondo. The allegations are, like I said, they're allegations now that I think last year, I forgot, I'm not quite sure. Quando Rondo and his cousin, I believe his cousin, Little Paul, were at a gas station in Los Angeles and got attacked, ambushed. You know, they got into a gunfight. And Quando Rondo survived, but his cousin, Little Paul, I believe his name is, was killed. Apparently, it was in retaliation of Keen Von's murder, which was allegedly, coordinated by Quando Rondo or was connected with their beef. Now there was always speculation that, you know, Lil Durk, being that him and Keen Von were like brothers, would retaliate. 2 years ago on the $1 Million Game Worth of Game podcast with Gully the Kid and Waldo literally cried telling his story about how his brother was murdered, and it took everything in him to stop for, you know, to stop him from retaliating. And he literally cried to Lil Durk to say, don't retaliate for King Von. Don't kill people. Don't do this. You know what I'm saying? It's not worth it. You know, he talked about how he take care of his brother's, you know, daughter now, and, you know, his, you know, his nieces and nephews. You know, he said that after his brother got shot, you know, he ran home and literally died in his grandmother's arms. And it took everything in him not to retaliate against the murders. And he eventually forgave the murderers for his, the murderer for his brothers. And now I think, you know, he went up to the guy and said, hey, I forget, you know, but, you know, he forgave him in his heart. He let it go. And he said, I wouldn't be here living the life I am today if I would have retaliated. And he said that. And let me tell you, Waldo said this in a room full of thugs. Like, these guys were in masks and, you know, they were strapped. It was a scary situation. You know, I'm not gonna lie, when I saw the video, I was like, damn, yo, you deep in it. You know what I'm saying? You know, these guys have masks on and stuff like that. You know, the whole OTF crew, you know, Only the Family. That's what Lil Durk calls his crew. And he begged them, like, yo, don't retaliate. I mean, I don't think he said it out flat, did he? I mean, he may have, but I don't think he said it out flat. But, you know, he really was pleading to Lil Durk to say, don't retaliate. Don't do it. Because we all knew, I mean, you from the hood, you knew that something in the background was going off of retaliation. You know, King Von wasn't going to be murdered. And Lil Durk and his people weren't going to attempt to do something. You know, we were hoping that, you know, for the best, that they would let it go. Peace will come. The murders will stop. But obviously, allegedly, that didn't happen. Now, a little more backstory. You know, in Chicago, where they from, there was a lot of murdering going on connected to King Von and the OTF people and stuff like that. Particularly, one of the most famous ones was of a 15-year-old kid named Tuca. Tuca was part of, I think it was a Tuca crew or whatever, and there was a lot of murdering back and forth between Tuca's crew, other crews, and things like that. It was also an infamous woman that was down with Tuca's crew that she was, young lady was murdering people, and allegedly King Von killed her. Allegedly. I always say allegedly, you know. But besides Tuca, there was a lot of murders that could have been connected to King Von, Lil Durk, and his crew and his peoples. Even in their rap songs, a lot of them were, they talked about Tuca, smoking on Tuca. And they, I mean, for about 10 years, they talked about various songs about Tuca, about him getting murdered. And one, it was horrible because it was a 15-year-old. Tuca was 15 when he was murdered. Now, I'm not in any way saying Tuca was an innocent boy himself. I'm sure Tuca had a lot of things on his head as well, you know. But, you know, it was just horrible that a 15-year-old boy got killed. Then the girl, she got killed. She was like, I think, 15 or 16. And it just going back and forth of people murdering people. And now I don't know if King Von, and that was connected to his murder and with Quando Rondo. I don't know. That's not my business. I don't know. But it just always seemed like back and forth. The murdering just don't stop. And I believe when Waldo was speaking to Lil Durk, he felt if he can get to Lil Durk, who at that time was the leader, like Lil Durk was running the show. He is the dude. He's that nigga in Chicago. He's that dude. Like, there's nobody, you know what I'm saying? Not even Chief. I think Chief and Lil Durk had problems, you know what I'm saying? And Chief left. He got big. He got his money. He left, you know what I'm saying? So Lil Durk is that dude. And when Waldo was talking to him, I felt that, you know, he really was trying to get through to the brother. Because if he knew he could convince Lil Durk not to do anything, that everybody else will settle down. But unfortunately, allegedly, he didn't let it go. And he was going to get retaliation. And he attempted to, which led to a murder. And the person that he wanted. Now, this is all alleged. All alleged. But what's crazy to me is, as a black man, I understand Little Durk. I understand what's going on. But then I'm split. And I think that is the role of a black man now. Unfortunately, we're split. We're split to what we know is right, but then we split through the other laws of what we've created within our community of what is right. It's like the no snitching rule. In the beginning, no snitching, I've talked about this before, no snitching was put in our hoods to protect us, meaning cops were using what other black people said against them to prosecute, convict, get other black people in trouble. So we made it in our hoods not to say anything to the cops, because they would use that against us to convict innocent people. So it made sense. But then we have warped it from that to no snitching for anything. Now, if you snitch on somebody that done murdered somebody, you're bad. A man that done raped a girl, you're bad. A man that done set you up and you snitch, you're bad. And we've turned it where that is the actual law now. People have been killed, or people have been, there's been attempted murder on people or murders on people that have snitched, and not snitched about like an innocent person. Well, snitch on somebody that set them up, somebody that did wrong, somebody that did drugs or whatnot. And we even go through this whole thing of when you go to jail, people check your papers to see if you ain't snitching. Like literally they check your papers. Now, for one, think about it like this. How does a prisoner have access to your paperwork? Like, nobody should know what anybody's in jail for unless you tell them. But the jail system is so corrupt and part of this idea culture that people are able to get paperwork of other people. Even if you're allowed to bring it in with you, let me check. Like it's a culture that they promote and allow in the jail cells. And then there are people that don't even snitch that get accused of snitching. Like, the culture is crazy. And there's no stop to it. But as a black person, I'm split. It's like I was split. Let me give you an example of this. And this is crazy, but we were all split in America with O.J. Simpson. On one half, we celebrated as a black community. We literally did this. We celebrated a murderer because he got off with murder. Now, everybody in black America time, we all knew O.J. We all felt O.J. did it. We already say, yeah, he did it, right? But we celebrated because he was the first black man that had enough money and fame that got away with murdering two white people. And we celebrated that. We celebrated it as a culture. Shit, I was celebrating it too. But see, the mentality of the black community is so warped now that we're celebrating our own brothers doing wrong just for some type of liberation in our mind. We promote evil and negative behavior in the name of what's good. We go around and say, yo, you kill my brother, I'ma kill you. And it's promoted. Now, Little Durk is on another level of life. He's doing concerts. He's touring. He's doing music with big people. He's having hit records. You know, I even saw he did a special on Prime Video of his music. I mean, at the end of the day, he's doing next level things, but still has this
feeling that he has to keep it real. Now, unfortunately, when you get to that level, and I speak for myself, there was a time I was in the music heavy. There was a time I was the man. There was a time I could go in clubs and bottles were being bought for me. I could go to award shows. I could travel. And I was that dude. Now, I wasn't on no Diddy level, so don't get me wrong. But for the level that I was on, I was that man. When you have a hot artist or you have something that the people want, you're high, and you get a lot of yes people around you. Now, I was never on the level of Lil Durk. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't, but I had songs. I had popular artists. I had deals. So in my circle, I was the man. And I get it. You get a lot of yes people around you, meaning everything I did back in the day was great. It was a time I had a streak that I was winning. Like there's nothing I didn't touch that wasn't winning. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it got to the point where I was winning so much that I got an office in the studio for free. My own office, my own studio for free in a building. Some investors like, yo, don't worry. We got you. My artist was living in the studio. I had my own office and everything. I was winning. I was the man. I would go to the club, bottles be free. Women everywhere. Not that I was married, so I wanted to do, but you know what I'm saying? But women were everywhere. Oh, Cass. You know what I'm saying? I was on another level. Now, just with that, then I was like local types, a little national with different, but you know, I wasn't on Lil Durk's level. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't making that Lil Durk money. I wasn't that Lil Durk popular. I wasn't Diddy popular and shit like that. But just that alone, I understand, because I had everything. I had nothing but yes people around me. Everything I did was hot. Everything I did was like, yeah, Cass, do it. Yeah, Cass, yeah. And that gets into your ego, because there was things I knew I shouldn't be doing or how I should be moving. But because everybody was around me assuring me that what I was doing was right, because they were on that bandwagon, I was like, shit, yeah, let's go. And the people that would tell me, nah, Cash, you need to move differently, I was like, man, you don't know what the fuck you talking about. You know what you're saying. That's why today I move alone. That's why today I move the way I move, because I understand that when you on that level and you got yes people around you, you do things you don't want to. You start following laws and morals that don't make sense. You start reverting back to your hood ways, to your wicked ways, your negative thoughts, because people are encouraging it over and over. And I was nowhere on no Lil Durk level. So I'm not even trying to act as I was, you know what I'm saying, the mayor of the city and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't on that level, but I was at a level where money was good. Popularity was good. I was popping. I was that popping dude. So I get it. So I could imagine this young man with the money and all his people around him. He the man now. And then they kill your brother. They kill, you know, everybody in your hood, everybody around you, telling you what you're going to do. And see, for you to stay on the top, you got to be the man at the top. So you can't have somebody walk around, murk your brother, and then you just let it go. You can't at that point. Well, you can, but it's hard to have the courage. Maybe I should say that. It's hard to have the courage to go against what everybody's telling you should do. Everybody's telling me, yo, don't worry. I know peoples, yo. I got peoples, yo. We gonna get this fool. We just gonna wait for a little. We gonna get this fool. But at the end of the day, even if he didn't do it, even if he knew about it, he's like, all right, cool. Let me make that happen. They always want the head. These feds, they don't want the body. They don't want the peon. They want the head. And you're the head, Lil Durk. And the feds were waiting for that. They were waiting for you to retaliate or get information. Allegedly, it was one of their peoples that wore a wire. That was the evidence they need. Allegedly. This is what alleged. But, you know, all we know right now for sure is he got arrested for murder to hire plot. He planned to kill Quando Rondo, and it didn't work, and they killed his cousin instead. So they got him on a murder charge and a murder for hire charge. Now, apparently, it's probably going to be other charges, other shit happened, but they arrested, Dirk and five other his associates. Because apparently and allegedly, somebody wore a wire. And as black people, we are split. As black men, especially, we are so split. Even what's right is right. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. And if we go do what's right, we're wrong in the hood. We don't get the respect. It takes a real mentality to go against that. Now, I don't know if Lil Durk had that mentality. But he was in a position where he could have said, yo, we ain't gonna do this shit, man. We getting this money, man. You know, yo, trust me. I'm on all people. My brother died. But yo, we at a point where we could feed our families. Yo, let's focus on this music and get this money. You know what I'm saying? Let's let the prosecutors get these niggas and put these niggas in jail. We'll help them niggas. We'll help them get these niggas to put them in jail. But see, in the hood, that's a no-no. You don't work with the feds. You don't work with the cops. You know? Fuck them arrested. We gonna get them ourselves. That's the respect. Because if he said that, oh, nah, nigga, you gonna work with the cops, nigga? Yo, you a snitch. You undercover. You don't want to be called that in the hood. That's a bad thing that you working with them. You undercover. Shit, I've even been there. I had people that cases were dismissed or things happened. I'm like, yo, they undercover, man. I got to stay away from them. But on the other side of things, let's be real. I can't feel bad for a guy that was best friends with a murderer. With an alleged murder. Let's just allege it. There's a lot of bodies connected to King Von and their whole crew. So on one end, I can't feel bad because I feel bad because a talented young black man is now going to jail. And millions of dollars are going to be made by his label. Because, you know, people want to start selling, people going to start, you know, saying, buying music, listening to his music. You know that labels have insurance policies on these artists. So when something happens to them, they make money. Media is going to make money. The lawyers, the courthouse going to make money for the hours they spent on it. So millions of dollars are going to be made off of this right here. Millions. And instead of it being a cautionary tale or a lesson learned, we're going to take this as, yo, they getting my man, yo, you know what I'm saying? Yo, free Lil Durk, you know what I'm saying? They trying to get him, you know what I'm saying? Fuck that he tried to murder people. His boy murdered people or allegedly, you know, murdered. It doesn't matter. The hood, we're going to see this as a negative instead of a positive that we got killers off the street if allegedly he did it. I mean, we're split. This is crazy because we're split as black people. And the funny thing is I understand the mentality and feel it in a certain way. And I'm on this podcast right now talking about it, it's crazy, but I feel how they feel. Because if you murdered my brother, I'm going to get you back too. I don't want to work with the cops. Every day as a black man right now, in my life right now, I struggle. I personally struggle with my life today. After I had my breakdown a few years ago, you know what I'm saying? As you know, if you listen to my podcast, you rock with me about three, four years ago. I changed my life. And I didn't change my life as far as like, you know, you know, as far as, you know, people, I didn't do that type of stuff and I wasn't involved in crazy stuff, but I started to live my life according to what's right, what I should do, handle business better, not put myself, not look at it from a ghetto mentality, not do business as a black man. I started to focus on what was important, handle business accordingly. And I struggle every day as a black man in America, and I feel like I sell out. Like that, even though I know mentally I don't, but it's that feeling. Like, yo, I'm living a white life. Why? The life I'm living, being a homeowner and making good money and having a career job and things like, why is that saying I feel white and I'm selling out being black? And that's the crazy thing about being a black male, is that we have been conditioned so much by ourselves that we really look at good things we do as bad. And that's the crazy thing about it. Now, I don't have Little Dirk money. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? But I don't have that money. I don't have those opportunities. I'm not in those circles that he is, just by him having hits and stuff. But it is so strong within the black community that somebody that has opportunity, the doors open to go to another level, still chooses to be around that idea and live by that idea. And that's what's crazy. But see, when you tell people the struggle of the black man and what we go through, they throw that at the door. Now, don't get me wrong. The book I'm writing, Men Are Meant to Be Broken, you know, and I've done podcasts before, but I've talked about, and my book also talks about, us taking accountability for this shit. So I don't in any way want somebody to think I'm like, oh, woe's the black man. We, you know, everybody does this stuff for make us bad. No, I talk about our role and what we have to do to make better decisions. And we have to take accountability for where we're at right now. I'm not into blaming the white man or the system and stuff like that, because I feel that, you know, no matter if we were black, green, pink, it doesn't matter. People always look at opportunity to exploit for furthering them, their own agenda, whether it's money or opportunity. So I try not to look at things as black or white anymore. I look at it as people using stuff for opportunity. I was having a discussion earlier today, actually, with somebody, and we were talking like political things about abortion and you know, LGBTQ communities and stuff like that. And she was saying to me, you know, oh, you know, you got to vote for Kamala Harris because she has the best interests of these modern people and this and that. And I said to her, I was like, you know what? See, this is the problem. This is the problem with elections. This is the problem with the world today. Everything negative, everything that people tell you they want to do, everything that you feel that a person represents, look at one thing that it all has is money. Somebody's making money off of every aspect of an argument. People are making money off the bashing of a certain thing. People are making money off of the promotion of a certain thing. It's all about money and opportunity for others. Nobody's genuine in their fights anymore. You could be on the side of the Democrats or the Republicans, but it's an agenda they push for, whether it's votes or money or sponsorship or attention, whatever, but it's not really for the cause. You know, I used abortion as a example. I said, you know, I'm not trying to say anti-abortion or pro-abortion. That's not what I'm saying. But I said, they spend so much money or get so much money, which generates more money, in talking about rights of abortion. But nobody spends money on telling these young girls there's so many things you can do not to get an abortion. Because whether you get an abortion or not, for whatever reason, abortions are just not good on your body and not good on a woman's mental. Point blank. It, you know, you could argue whether it's her right to do it or not, and that's fine. But we all know that your body is not good for your body and for your mental. So why do we argue about that right and we don't argue so much and promote prevention before getting there. You know, I grew up in the 80s, right? And one thing about the 80s is that in the early 90s, that they did everything to stop you not to do the bad thing. Like, you know, McGruff the dog, you know, say no to drugs and all this stuff. They, you know, they did a lot of promotion on stop you from even trying the drug. They have shows where, you know, oh, weed is a great gateway drug, or they have specials where, you know, the people, you know, you got the kids trying drugs and it leads to something worse. I mean, there was just a lot of different things that that they did to just to stop you from doing it. Now, instead of people promoting not to do drugs, they're building clinics to give people drugs. Think about it. You know, instead of saying, you know, no to drugs and stuff like that, they're doing things to give people drugs. And arguing that this is the way of doing it. Nobody's talking about prevention anymore. And I know you're like, damn, Cash, you're going on a tangent here. You're going somewhere else with it. And I'm not. What is crazy is that we are talking about addressing these problems with these black men, the issues, but we're not talking about how to prevent them and helping them before. We're a community that wants to react. And when they react, there's money involved, because there's money involved in abortion. There's money involved in clinics on both sides. So why would they prevent to stop the problem when the problem itself creates money and opportunity? It's like having things that we could do to stop a war, but instead of us doing that, we say, fuck it. We're not going to do nothing to prevent the war. We're just going to go to war. I mean, that's what it basically is. We're going right to the war. Because it's money. See, black men's misery, or black men's thinking, black men's mentality, black men's negativity, violence, all this stuff, they have learned how to make money off of it. And what's crazy is that the victims, the true victims, are young black men that are coached to believe that they need to protect a land or a hood or a project or a block that they don't even own. Because that's what it comes down to, is these people fighting for territories and things that they don't even own. Because these young people ain't killing each other because of drugs. Like, you know, back in the days, be like, yo, this is my drug area, it's your drug area, you fighting. Oh, no. They're fighting over respect and bullshit and blocks. Everything they're fighting over, none of it we own. Yo, this is old block. This is this town. This is that town. And they're fighting each other over territory that none of them own. They're dying for things that they have no ownership on, and that other people are making money off of their death. People are making money off of gangster rap and all these rappers talking about, I killed this person. We're not making money off of it. These corporations are making money. These corporations are making money off of single black women out here preaching independence, because these are the same women that buy BMWs, Louis bag, Kate Spade, all of that. They're the biggest consumers in the country. Because these are things that make being a single mother or independent woman legit. Oh, I got red bottoms. Oh, I got a Louis bag. Oh, I got a fly car. Oh, I got the fine apartment. But who's getting the money? See, everything is connected to money. Unfortunately, there's going to be millionaires made from this arrest from Little Durk. Literally, there's going to be millionaires made from this Little Durk situation. And that is sad. And that's crazy. And as a people, we don't see it and we keep it going and we give into these things that are violent and we don't understand that they do it and they allow it and they promote it because it makes the money. And we're in this cycle, this loop of constant violence and people exploiting our violence and making money off of it. And it's crazy to me. Lil Durk is another example of a young black man that was convinced that the world and the system he lived in, of right or wrong, is how it should be. And even with his success to the next level of life, he took those morals and ideas with him, which got him in the position he is in today. That's how deep the psychology is with black men. And it's unfortunate. I pray to God that this is a lie, that he gets out and he just changes up. I pray. But then on the other hand, if he really is, has done this stuff and other stuff he's done, he deserves to be in jail. You know? People sit up and talk about the system. The system's unfair. The system's not good to black people. And on some levels, I do agree. But why will we fight for a system that's unfair for people that are actually criminals? How does a criminal deserve fair treatment? I think I talked about this in another podcast. I had a female friend that was on probation. She was on probation for drunk driving and she injured people in her accident. She had to pay restitution and stuff. So towards the end of her probation, she thought she was getting off, but apparently there's a tax onto it when she was paying it. She wasn't paying the tax. I don't know. So she had like $1,000 left that she had to pay, but she thought she paid everything up. She was sitting in front of me saying, man, it's unfair. The system's not treating me well. This is wrong. Blah, blah, blah. She was just really going off. Then I said to myself, and I said to her, I said, okay, I understand that what you're going through is unfair, because unfair to me is they told you something and they changed up. I get it. But wasn't it unfair to the people's lives you affected in that accident? At least you have an opportunity to fight the unfairness. You have an opportunity to address it with the court, talk to your lawyer, all that. Your victims didn't have an opportunity or a choice in their damages, in their hurt, in their pain, in their suffering, in their inconvenience. They didn't have a chance of fairness. They didn't have a chance to move out the way when you chose to drink and drive that car. They didn't have a choice. So how is it that unfair to them? That's the ultimate unfairness, that they didn't even have a chance to fight because of what you did. But you're mad that you're in an opportunity that you have a chance to fight your unfairness. But you complain that you're being treated bad. But you didn't think about the victims that you hurt. But it's all about you. I should be treated fairly. But those people have to live with what you did every day. They didn't have a choice. They did nothing to deserve it. You did something to deserve it. If it's unfair, I get it. I understand it. But don't sit there and act like you're a victim. See, and that's the thing. We're sitting here victimizing people that really did shit. But see, that's the black community. I can imagine right now somebody's making money off free Lil Durk shirts. I guarantee in Chicago and in hoods, some guy is like, oh shit, I'm making this money. And they're printing up free Lil Durk shirts right now, which is going to be sold at your local vendor or in the hood. And somebody's gonna be making a shitload of money off of that. Like I always used to say, like, niggas got free little Pookie and like, damn, what happened with Pookie? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? He just took out two people. But I'm just saying, yo, they need to give him. But like, wait. the nigga murdered somebody and you talking about free him? Nah, keep him locked up. But see, we don't think about that. People gonna throw on that shirt, go to the club, sing Little Durk songs, say free my man Little Durk. And all those are stupid campaigns, because your campaign for free somebody is not going to change the judgment. Well, you know what? A lot of people got shirts on out there. A lot of people got shirts on. So, you know what? Let me rethink this. The prosecutor, you know what? Now that I see all these shirts, I'm going to change my mind, not prosecute. Don't work that way. You're showing support for what? What support? There's no support. Now, if he didn't do it, he didn't do it. Because all of this is alleged. All of it is alleged. But we have to stop as a culture doing what we do. We have to. We have to. And I get it, because I'm there myself. I feel the guilt. I feel the restraints. But I feel guilty living a good life. I feel guilty doing the right thing. I could imagine how he feels. Could imagine what he's going through. But because of that feeling, that led to allegedly to a lot of wrong choices. We're up there protecting and victimizing killers. People that are ordering hits that actually killed people. Keen Von talked about people dying in Tuca and all this stuff. Talked about it, bragged about it. Enough where, you know, I didn't say I killed somebody or any names, but if you listen to my songs, you really, and you know what's up, you could put two and two together. But it's crazy to me. We got to do better, black men. We have to do better. And I'm not saying that there aren't outside factors that need to change, but we got to do better within our hood. We got to do complete. We have to value black men's lives, and we don't value that. People just go murder and don't care about it. I'm not saying all my life and how I was raised, I didn't see things, participate in things. And, you know, I can't sit here and say that, you know. I think anybody that was raised in the hood or raised in a certain life has skeletons in their closet or been involved in things that, looking back, like, damn, I shouldn't have been involved in, or looking back on a situation like, damn, I could have done better. I could have made a better decision. But see, we got to start promoting those better decisions to our young black men. We got to start promoting that to our hood, to our culture, because this is crazy. We're killing each other, and other people are making money off of our suffering. That's what's crazy. Right now, millions of dollars, millionaires are being made right now because of Lil Durk's arrest. And millions are going to keep flowing to other people's pocket. Well, I appreciate you listening to this Cast is Crazy segment of Black Men's Mental Health. Download the Culture Radio app. You're going to get exclusive content on it. I have my own playlist on there where I'm going to be having exclusive content on there before it goes everywhere. So if you want to listen to my stuff early, definitely download the app, the Culture Radio, on Apple and Google. Black men, let's do better. Black men, let's hold ourselves accountable and get out of the stereotypes that we've been told to be in by ourselves. Let's do better. Let's be better. I know we can. We got to step up. We got to be better. We can't keep doing this to ourselves. We're killing ourselves for no reason. We're doing this for no reason. All right, guys. Well, like I said, go to blackmensmentalhelp.com. You could listen to this podcast or my other podcast. Download the Culture Radio app. You're going to listen to exclusive podcasts on there, exclusively, dropping early on there. And go to the radio station. I got Black Men's Mental Health Radio. You know, we play music. We play a lot of my podcasts on there. I got my own radio station. It's my network, so I decided my own radio station, you know? But you know what I'm saying? Support. Download the Culture Radio app. You know what I'm saying? So free, nothing but music, different channels for different genres, nothing but, you know, music, you know, free. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't get that nowadays. You know what I'm saying? So download it and enjoy. All right, guys. Until next time.